He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and it is exciting times that we are living in. If you are watching the news, if you're a Christian, then you should be excited. If you are fearful, if you are scared, then you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Read His Word, and then you will understand that these times must come so that He can come and that we can be with Him throughout eternity. Thank you so much for joining with our broadcast. I want to offer you an invitation to go to my website, hisgospelpower.org. That's hisgospelpower.org. But I would like to give you more training if you would like to get that. All you have to do is fill out your email on the front page there, and there's more training. I will put you on my email list. I will continuously be able to send you things, keep you updated on our ministry as we grow and as we minister to the world and minister to the lost around the world. I am so excited that you join with our ministry. And now let's hear this week's message. We're going to actually complete our series on Has God Changed? God was speaking to me before I left to go to Liberty, to go to the classes, and He spoke to me even more as I was there. He spoke to me about His kingdom. He's been speaking to me about what the kingdom of God looks like. About what the kingdom looks like according to this church. About how this church is formed and how it is focused. And what are the goals of this church? What are my goals as a person? What is going on in my life? What is going on in your life? What has changed since I have come to this church? Sadly, I'm not sure much has. But we're working on that. God uses us every day and teaches us, shows us where we have fallen short and where we should continue to work. Now, as I've been doing here lately, and I might step on some toes or two. Now, what I don't want you to begin to do, because you see, I'm not seeing a lot of tears on the front down here. But I think as Christians going to church that have been going to church for 50 years, we have begun to wear steel-toed shoes. That way, if the Holy Spirit stomps on them a little bit, don't even faze us. We got steel-toed shoes. It's no problem. God wants to grow us each and every day, each and every one of us, not week to week, day to day, minute by minute, second by second in our lives. He wants to grow us. He wants to show us that growth in our life. We have the power of God. We've talked about all of these things over the years that I've been here. With the power that we have offered to us in God, that we never use. We leave it laying somewhere because we don't think we need it. But we have the power of God through prayer. Our most important tool is the one that we don't use the most. Our most important line to God, we refuse to connect. Because we don't think it has any effect. Now be honest. You gotta be honest with yourself. I'm gonna be honest with you. You gotta be honest with yourself. I've heard many say, well, all we can do is pray. I guess we can just pray. I guess that, you know, everything else is done. All I can do is pray. I can't get over there to help so and so. All I can do is pray. Wow.
I don't even know where this message is going to go today because it's so multifaceted. But I know what God impressed on me. He's been impressing on me, but He really threw it at me this last week is prayer. Even though I have prayed many times and seen the prayer, boom, happen exactly like I prayed it.
Oh, well, Rick, that's just coincidence. Say what you believe.
I believe there is no such thing as coincidence. If you are a Christian, there is providence. God continuously works in our life. Some of you don't know much about my testimony, and I'm not going to give it to you right now, but I will, other than to say this, if it were not for a praying woman in my life, praying a couple of women actually, it was actually reminded of me of Glenn Pipes here just recently that I don't give my sister Denise enough credit because she was very instrumental in the fact that I am in the ministry. That woman that was up, that a lot of times you don't even see her because she's out running around behind the scenes somewhere. A little woman I call Frances, she's my wife, was praying very hard for me. And that prayer stopped an imminent divorce in its tracks that I was so oblivious I didn't have a clue. Are you looking for the majesty of Christ in your life today? I want you to sit with me just a second and analyze your life with me. Try to throw out all of the preconceived ideas that you've ever had. I want to give you a few vital things to know. The book of Revelation talks to us about the steps of Christianity. It talks about the different churches. And the first step of Christianity, do you remember what it was like when it was your first love? Do you remember that? You see, the statistics happen is that if you have been a Christian for probably less than 10 years, you're a first-generation Christian. If you've been a Christian for more than, and a first-generation Christian still has a passion for Christ, still wants to work, still wants to do what God wants him to do, still is in love with God. If you're a second-generation Christian, the second-generation Christian, maybe you've been a Christian for 20 years or so. Your mom and dad were in this church, let's use for an example. And they were here all this time and they raised you in church. You're now a second generation Christian. And second generation Christians, they just care about Christ. They still believe in God and they might even still believe in a prayer or two. Pretty much it's status quo and they're moving on. You know, God is real, but He's over there. We get along, we just don't come together a whole lot. But the third generation Christian is where America is today. The third generation Christian that's 30, 40 years, 50 years in the making has pretty much forgotten everything there is about Christianity and is now just in the status quo. It doesn't feel good because it doesn't fit my schedule if I don't go to church. So I gotta go to church. It's a habit. It's a habit with me. I'm not going to experience the presence of God. I am going because it is a habit that I have formed, a good habit. I don't want anybody to stop coming. It's a good habit. But a habit nevertheless because we don't experience the presence of God. And why is that? Because we don't come looking for the presence of God. We don't come expecting the presence of God. Now, I will say, in the last several weeks, as we have begun to worship and praise God, I'm beginning to feel God's presence ushered into this building. I'm excited about that. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. Are you looking for the majesty of Christ? What is your goal for this church? What is your goal? Your goal for this church. What's your personal goal as being a Christian? What is that goal that you should have as being a Christian? What are you looking for in this Christianity? Why are you here today? What is your goal? Do you know, without a goal, you can't accomplish it. If you aim at nothing, that's exactly what you're going to hit every time. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get nothing. Our makeup says we have to have a goal. We have to have something to shoot for. The professor this week was talking about how he coached a soccer team of five-year-olds. Now just think about that for just a second, a soccer team of five-year-olds. But he was the assistant coach. Well, they didn't really have any place to practice, so they just kind of went out on this field, and they always lost. Because the coach of the team could not get the kids to understand what to do. He just had them running around all over the place kicking the ball. They're running all over the field. They're just kicking the ball. They kick it to one another. They kick it back over here. They just catch the ball. They're all running around everywhere. They're just kicking the ball. And so, of course, when the game came, what do you think they did? They ran around out there kicking the ball, man. They didn't know what's going on. Hey, we're out here. This is fun. Let's kick the ball. And so, of course, sometimes they'd be kicking it to the opposite team. It doesn't know. There was no goals. Well, the coach got called away. So the assistant coach had to take over for about an hour. So he walked to one side of the field and he laid out some whatever he could find, and he made some goals here, and he walked to the other side and he made some goals on this other end. He said, now this half of the team, try to get it over into those goals. Try to get the ball over there. And this half of the team, you try to get it over here. And the coach comes back, and all the parents, they were just not all impressed with what was going on anyway. But he said, all of a sudden they started looking and they started figuring it all out, and they said, wow. And they started participating and they started getting involved. And the coach comes back and he starts saying, man, what's going on? These kids are playing soccer. How did you do that? He said. And the assistants just said, I gave them a goal. They knew what they were kicking the ball for. I gave them a goal. What is your goal as a Christian? John 17, 20 through 23, Jesus' word is for us today. My prayer is not for them alone. You know, how many know when Jesus is speaking, you should perk up? It's not me speaking, it's Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. Quote, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Through their message. That all of them may be one. Just as you are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus prays this prayer for his disciples. And we are his disciples. He is praying that for us. He has prayed that for us. And every time we read it, he is re-praying it for us. It is the words that Jesus Christ spoke to us. Second, we can see God. And what I wanted to speak to you about today mainly is make disciples who make disciples. John 17, 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Jesus wants people, us, to be with him in heaven. 1 John 2, 1, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father on our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus wants us to be with him and see his glory. Now it's going to come the astounding part. He doesn't want you to come by yourself. He wants you to bring somebody with you. I have a question for you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, how many know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Okay, now I've got the hard question. Who, a name in this blank, who are you discipling? Who is your disciple? And it's not fair, by the way, oh, well, my wife is my disciple. Oh, my husband is my disciple. Or my children, even. Although you men and women, you must disciple your children. That's very scriptural. Who are you discipling? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go making disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey what I have commanded, what Jesus has told us. And that was the last thing He told us. That's why it's called the Great Commission. But instead, we say, well, Rick, I do a lot for the church. Man, I'm busy all the time. And I'm on this team, and I'm doing this, and we're feeding the hungry, and we're doing all kinds of stuff. We're working. Praise the Lord. Keep it up. But you can't push away that question or that command that God has given you to go and make disciples. We talked about that a little bit in the youth this morning. Go and make a disciple. And you know what? It's easy. Who are you discipling? Can you put a name in the blank? Now, Jesus' model was 12. And of course, He only got 11 of those. But we all know that that was the plan. He knew that was going to happen. Didn't surprise Him. And I'm not even asking you, and I don't think Jesus is either, He's not asking you to go and disciple 12 like He did. But He is commanding us. Do you understand what a command is? Does anybody know what a command is? If you're in the service, you know what a command is. This is not, you know what? If you would like to, would you go over and pick up those cigarette butts off the ground? So when you get around to doing that sometime, maybe today or next week or maybe in a year or so, go ahead and go pick up the trash around the barracks. You try that sometime if you're in the military. Try that one. No, it's a command. I want all of you men to pick up the trash around the barracks. And you say, yes, we will, and you go do it. This is a command. A command is something that is very strong, that is given to us, that we should obey. And how do I know that? Because He said, teaching them to obey. Every commandment that I've given you. How are you going to know what to teach them? If you have a red letter Bible, read all the red letters. That's Jesus talking. You can start from that. Now, Paul had a lot of things that came from Christ, and I know that. Peter, all of those guys. But you know what? You're trying to teach what your disciple should learn. Teach them, read the red letters in there. And begin to figure out, you should be discipling someone. What's that look like? What's discipling look like? Well, first, chances are you're going to have to bring them to the Lord. Oh no. God, I've only been a Christian for 50 years. I don't think I know how to do this. It's not rocket science. It is that you begin to pray. Remember, we talked about prayer in the first part. You begin to pray. God, use me. Put someone in my path today whose heart will be open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. You see, you don't even have to do the work, because now you have done the prayer. And our God is a mighty God who is powerful. And He cares about our prayers. He cares about our life. He says that if you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. If you ask anything in the name of Jesus, He will give it to you. Ask the desires of your heart. If you are praying and the desire of your heart is to witness to someone for Jesus Christ, how many believe that He's going to give you that person? I do. How many believe God is smarter than we are? How many believe God is bigger than we are? How many believe that He's more powerful than we are? He's a great and mighty God that hears when we pray. And so you pray, God, place somebody in my life. And you know what? What I was telling the youth this morning is if you're sitting at a table and a perfect stranger was to walk up to you while you were sitting eating lunch or something and says something to you, maybe, how are you doing? You know, have you been in this town long? It tries to strike up some sort of a conversation. What do you think that is? God has just placed someone in your life who is going to be open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't make disciples, are you going to go to hell? Rick, you're talking about works here now. Be careful. If you don't make disciples, are you going to go to hell? The answer to that question is no. You're not going to go to hell. But my next question is, do you want to just get into heaven and not be obedient to what God wants you to do? That's a question you have to answer, and someday that's a question you're going to have to answer before God. Now, I don't know how many there are in here right now, but I can tell you right now, if you will disciple someone yet this year, you'll fill this place up in a heartbeat. Because if you start discipling somebody next week, do you know that we can double in a week? Did you know that? We can double not only the people. I'm not talking about asking your Christian neighbor who goes to the Christian church or the Church of Christ or the Lutheran to come to church. Come to our church instead of yours. Our church is a lot better. Man, we got great music. You're going to like it a lot better. No. No, you're not growing anything. You're moving people around. I'm talking about growing the kingdom of Jesus Christ by giving someone the gospel. Because Jesus commanded us, the last thing He said is go, making disciples. Maybe, if you're afraid to share the gospel, you can find that new baby Christian. We have a lot of them here, by the way. You older people, you know, how many of y'all know that the Bible says that the older women should teach the younger? How many know that it says the older men should teach the younger? So, you know what? Okay, Rick, I've only been a Christian for 50 years. I don't know how to share the gospel, so I'm going to pray that God will give me somebody to disciple. Anybody who's been a Christian for 2 or 3 years, raise your hand. Raise them high. Y'all, you don't have to be embarrassed. Raise your hand if you've been a Christian for 2 or 3 years. Oh, look at that. Now y'all have disciples. But you better hurry. Because I don't want 5 disciples on one. We want 1 disciple on one. And what are you going to teach your disciple? You're going to teach your disciple to make a disciple. You're going to teach them everything that I have commanded. And Jesus taught to make a disciple. Do you know, I mean, this is all simple math, and I know you know it. If you take a 1 yourself, and you disciple 2 people in your lifetime, that you teach to disciple, and now they disciple 2 people each, you've now multiplied yourself, so now you've gone from 2 to 4, and they, since you're teaching them to make disciples, they're teaching others to make disciples, and now it has divide it again, and now it is 8. And you teach each one of those to get 2 disciples and make disciples. And now it divides again and you get 16. I don't remember exactly where it is, but you get down there somewhere about 128 or a little bit more, and it explodes. It explodes with the number. That's what God has done. That's what God has done with Christianity. How did He do that? People were just, they were obedient and they made disciples. We can see God by making disciples. God has been made known to us through Jesus. Make disciples who make disciples. That's what He wants us to do. Make disciples who make disciples. John 17, 25 through 26. Righteous Father, though the world does not know You, I know You. And they know that You have sent Me. I have made You known to them. And will continue to make You known in order that the love that You have for Me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. How's He going to do that? Jesus died on the cross. His physical body no longer is on this earth. But He sent you His Holy Spirit so that you will have the power to disciple someone and help them to learn to disciple. And as each one of us are obedient to God, and it doesn't have to be a youth, there's probably somebody else that you know that maybe is not as mature as you are in the Lord. You go grab them by the hand and say, you know what? I'd like to disciple you. But you're going to be teaching them to disciple someone else. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I believe God's perfect will is what Jesus told us when He left. When someone leaves, the last thing they tell you, if you're on your deathbed, most people are going to tell you the thing that is closest to their heart just before they die. Generally, it's going to be something in the way of, I just want you to know that I've loved you with all of my heart, all of my life. And Jesus could have said that, but see, that was obvious. He knew, we already knew that. So what did He tell us? Something that was closest to His heart. Go. Making disciples.
Thank you for joining with us on this segment of His Gospel Power. I'm Rick Hurtless. This is a listener-supported ministry, so I'm asking for your help. You could help in many ways. You could go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. If you just type in Rick Hurtless, you can take a look at the different books that I offer. My latest book is True Freedom. And, of course, you can go to my website, HisGospelPower.org. HisGospelPower.org. And there is a donate button on that website. You can click on that website. You can make a donation that way. Or if you would just like to mail it the old-fashioned way, mail your checks to P.O. Box 1569, P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And I would appreciate your help in this matter and, in fact, with any future support that you would like to give to this radio ministry. If it is blessing you, if you are hearing the Word of God and you are being fed on this radio broadcast, it would be my honor to accept your donation so that I might keep bringing it to you.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.